This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's up now?
The sounds of MASH, huh? Oh, gosh, what memories does that bring back? Well, today is Alan Alda's birthday, Scott. Were you a MASH fan?
I was not a MASH fan.
That's right. It's post your age group, right? I mean, you know, because probably by the time it wrapped up, you were just being born, weren't you?
I was born in 80, so...
Yeah,
I think I caught it mostly on reruns and things like that.
What a great cast and all that they went through. I mean, MASH was the American TV series developed by Larry Gelbart, adapted from a 70 feature film, MASH, which itself was based on the 1968 novel MASH, a novel about three Army doctors. And of course, Alan Alda was one of the featured doctors with Wayne Rogers, McLean Stevenson, Loretta Swit, Larry Linville, Gary Berghoff, you know, just a great cast of people and just terrific. And I guess their last episode was epic. I mean, you know, just I think today it still holds the record for, you know, size of viewing audience. Their goodbye tour was just incredible. But
The series went from 1972 to 1983. Yeah. And Alan Alda was actually born Alfonso Joseph D'Abruzzo. In January 28th, 1936.
Yeah. Well, what wit. I mean, he just was so funny. It was just a great cast of characters, great writing.
He still has it. Because he's been on, I know who Alan Alda is, not so much for MASH, but he was on, you know, he was on ER, which was big when I was growing up, 30 Rock, The West Wing. So he's been on a lot of big shows that are still... something that even people from my generation and beyond, people know who Alan Alda is.
Right. Well, that farewell, goodbye, farewell, and amen episode that ran on February 28th, 1983, highest rated single television episode, 125 million viewers, a 60.2 rating. I mean, you know, near 3 out of 4 people were watching that final episode. That's how epic and powerful that series was. So, you know, congratulations to Alan Alda and all the memories, you know. In fact, we just had a passing. Who just passed? I know from MASH. Do you remember? Was it? I don't want to guess a name and then have the wrong person. And then they go, hey, what are you doing? You're exaggerating my demise here, you know, so...
I'm not sure. I don't know enough to. For the same reason that you're not saying anything, I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think. I think I know, and I like you say, you just don't want to. You don't want to guess incorrectly here. And I think it was Wayne Rogers. Yeah, Wayne had passed away the end of last year on December 31st.
December 31st, 2015.
December 31st, yeah, yep. 2015. Yeah, he had passed, but good fun and great memories. And you talk about having a marathon weekend, whether it's with you know, the pandas, or you could do a marathon weekend. And my buddy and I, we always say, oh, we're going to do a marathon, you know, a marathon weekend, whether it's the MASH series or whatever, just to kind of, you know, close it down and, you know, let it chill out a little bit. Hey, well, coming up, our visit with Dinesh D'Souza about his latest book, Stealing America. Rather provocative and enlightening what he learned from being in confinement for 8 months. I think you got to read the book. I mean, because we can only get into so much in this conversation. But it is the dynamic. It is the paradigm that has long been established. And what he was able to perceive being in confinement. He was told he was going to be like in a white collar, you know, kind of crime confinement. And he was there with people that murdered people. And, you know, they were rather nefarious. So it was a rough group of people. But he learned you know, their worldview, and it broadened his perspective as to what's happening with our country. Stealing America, Dinesh D'Souza coming up. It's 4 minutes after the top of the hour, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
And we're back with the America, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, as always. Great to have you along here for the ride as we open up the conversation and talk about those things that we need to talk about. Political correctness aside, I got to tell you, you got to be thankful for a couple of people that have broken down those walls of political correctness. And I see them crumbling down almost at every turn. I'm thankful for Dr. Ben Carson, first of all, you know, when he confronted the president and brought this, you know, conversation to where we could discuss it in a public forum right in front of the president, who was basically the standard bearer, you could say, for political correctness in the Democratic Party. And, you know, when you ask yourself, you go, okay, why political correctness? And really what is at the base of all this is people don't want your opinion. You know, if you don't agree with them, then your opinion doesn't matter. You're invalidated. But here, you know, we say your opinion counts. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican, conservative, independent. It doesn't matter. What matters to me is the goal of coming to a solution. And coming to solutions, I have found, when you look back historically, and as I tell you, I'm an empiricist, I believe in, you know, what has happened. Give me history. Give me the facts. You know, it's kind of like, you know, as a kid growing up, I don't know if you remember, you know, Joe Friday. Joe Friday would always say, yes, ma'am, kids, give me the facts. Give me the facts. And I find myself hearing that echo, hearing Joe Friday's voice, and also some other very, you know, exceptional and extraordinary CEOs of company who ran, you know, a plethora of companies, even all at the same time. And the whole basis of their success was they dealt in fact. You know, just, you know, you had to. You don't have time to get into all the minutiae and the drama and, you know, the distraction that sometimes the conversation will get to. But what are the facts? What is the truth of the matter? That is the opportunity that is before us and is crying out for us, not only for ourselves, but for the next generation. And what kind of foundation are we laying here? And what has been laid, I'm afraid, here in this past generation of ours has been a foundation of deception. And, you know, and if you think not, look, just look back over the last 50, 60 years. You know, have we really been dealing with the truth every step of the way? And, you know, this hasn't been confined to one party over another. It hasn't been more Republicans or Democrats. It's a cultural deal. And when it is this kind of, and that's the thing about, you know, this type of ideology and perception and everything, is that it does cross over. It's not owned by any one group. It just becomes so pervasive that everybody does it. I mean, to the point our kids are doing it. And, you know, and that's, and somehow it becomes acceptable. I mean, when you hear of some of the stories coming out of the classrooms today, I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely astounded as to how disconnected we have become as a society from the truth. Okay, and it is unbelievable. Well, you know, this conversation will continue, but as I say, I am so grateful, you know, for people like Dr. Ben Carson and even Donald Trump with the big megaphone he has in terms of dealing with and demanding that we deal with the truth of the matter. And to this point, I'll tell you, our next guest, which I was talking to you earlier about, Dinesh D'Souza, New York Times bestselling author, hit documentary filmmaker, outspoken pundit, is with us. Last time we talked to him, he was in a detention center in San Diego, California. Dinesh, welcome back. Good to have you with us, and I'm glad that you are free.
Hey, thank you so much, and always a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, Dinesh, let me ask you up front, how's your daughter doing?
She's doing great. She's in college and having a great time. She was in London in the fall, and she's now back in America and expanding her mind. And happy to say she's also, you know, maturing politically.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Well, you know, you got thrown, everybody got thrown in the deep end of the pool here really quick. And, of course, you've been there. I mean, you'd been a pundit. You'd been an outspoken critic of this administration. And, boy, when they got the opportunity to come down on you, it looks like you were clearly targeted.
Well, I think the, you know, the normal treatment for someone who exceeds the campaign finance laws, particularly when there's no corruption involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, I gave the money to help a college friend who was running for the U.S. Senate. And normally that goes to the SEC, the Election Commission. They impose a fine and maybe some community service. It's a civil, not a criminal matter. So I think what happened here is that the government decided to decided that I was to be made an example of, and they put the full force of the U.S. government. You know, I'm an immigrant bill to the United States, yeah. And for me to go into a courtroom and hear the United States of America versus Dinesh D'Souza, I mean, that's enough to send a chill down your spine.
Well, and especially somebody as an immigrant who loves this country, you've picked no bones about it, and suddenly you find yourself in the crosshairs and the full weight and force of the government on top of you like this. And we're talking $20,000 here, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we're not talking bazillions of dollars from somebody who wasn't, you know, known as a political bundler. And, you know, Dinesh, we had a conversation with Jeff Kemp, former quarterback in the NFL. And we were talking yesterday because he does Facing the Blitz, which is off his book. We talked about responsibility, about owning it right away, you know, sooner. The sooner you own it, the better off you are. And you did that. You said, look, hey, I'm guilty. I messed up. And, you know, and you threw yourself on, in a sense, on the mercy of the court. And the federal government was just in a feeding frenzy for you at that point.
Well, it was a little precarious for me because I was at the mercy of a Clinton appointee judge. And a very aggressive prosecutorial unit that was willing to distort the case files, manipulate evidence, all kinds of shady business to try to get me thrown into the slammer. Now, the good thing about it is that having spent 8 months overnight in a confinement center, I actually got the experience of getting to know, I would say, a rather incredible group of hoodlums. I mean, drug smugglers, armed robbers, you know, people who had served time for murder. Unbelievable. And it's widened my way of thinking about the world. I just saw a side of America that I'd never seen before. And so my new book, which is called Stealing America, sort of sums up the experience I've been through and how it is, in some senses, enlarged my way of thinking. Also given me some new insights into criminality in the Democratic Party, the way that people like Hillary, Harry Reid, all these characters, I mean, they never end up in a confinement center. And part of the reason for that is that they have a lot of power over the Justice Department, which decides who goes to a confinement center.
We'll be right back.
important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generic.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
No, you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place yours.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Online Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 Eastern, in over 270 markets across the country and internationally now via shortwave. Our conversation with the number one New York Times bestselling author, hit documentary filmmaker, outspoken pundit, Dinesh D'Souza, continues. We're talking about his latest book, Stealing America, What My Experience with Criminal Gangs Taught Me About Obama, Hillary, and the Democratic Party. That subheadline, Dinesh, is very powerful, and I know there's probably some Democrats that are cringing at that statement. But you're calling it for what it is, because when you were in this detention camp there in San Diego, California, getting up close and personal with people that you wouldn't necessarily be taking out to lunch or dinner, it opened your eyes quite a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, I did. The criminal underclass has a very interesting perspective on America. Initially, having seen the Shawshank Redemption, I thought that those guys would take the view, you know, we're all innocent. But no, their view is, in a sense, we're guilty, we did it, but we are the small fry. We're the stupid criminals who got caught. The big criminals, the big fry, if you will, don't get caught. And one reason the system doesn't go after them is because they are the system. So this got me to think a little bit more about, well, I would say about the new Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party of Truman and Jimmy Carter was not a party that I would describe in any way as not only, I mean, those were not, those guys didn't come to politics in order to play the system or to make money. But the remarkable thing about the new Democratic Party, the party of Obama and of Hillary, is these are people who are willing to bend the law. They are willing, they use politics to enrich themselves immensely, and they're able to, and they're willing to deploy the organs of the state, like the justice system, against the political enemies who bristle on them.
Exactly. Well, Peter Schweitzer has exposed them on a couple of occasions. Of course, his recent book on the Clinton Foundation, which, you know, surprises me, Dinesh. I know she's getting a lot of cover on this stuff, but I think it's all bubbling and coming to the top in light of all these other, you know, trust offending instances that are on her plate right now and are exposing her greatly.
Yeah. You know, Hillary got scorned by some people when she said we were dead broke. But in reality, it is true that the Clintons came to politics with nothing. And now they have enormously enriched themselves. There are hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars at the Clinton Foundation. So how do you do that in America? Now, one way you do that is you invent the iPhone, or you start Federal Express, or you discover a roll-on luggage. But they didn't do any of that. They used politics in order to cash in big time. And they were in powerful positions. Hillary was Secretary of State dealing with foreign governments, and that involved things like mineral rights, uranium rights, even intercepting money that was designed to go to famine aid in Haiti. And that's why the Haitians are out of the Clinton Foundation protesting and saying, where are the billions of dollars that were supposed to go to us but seem to have gone to you?
Exactly.
And so I think it's quite remarkable that this isn't just about having, you know, oops, I used to keep a private email, or oops, I didn't get the phone call in Benghazi. I think there's a much bigger story here that will help to answer the question of why a competent person like Hillary insisted upon having a private email. Obviously, there was information she didn't want to be on the public transom.
Dinesh, on the grander scale, is this, you know, we talked about this earlier, not with you, but before you came on, about the breakdown and darkness or lack of moral clarity within our society, that it is so pervasive that it surprises me that even with these, you know, these findings with about Hillary and Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats, they live another day. Whereas you know, for $20,000, you're in a detention center. You know, the things the government has done, how they've been malfeasant with our funds, and probably Bernie Madoff is sitting in jail. And even though we're talking billions of dollars with him, he's probably thinking, what kind of small fry am I, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's, you know, justice is not just a matter of did you break the law, but it's also a matter of proportioning a penalty to an offense. It's making sure that other guys who did the same thing get the same penalty. The Democratic Party, by the way, always appeals to justice, right? Their favorite phrase is social justice. Mm-hmm. Obama can't stop talking about people's fair share. So they always appeal to fairness. They appeal to justice, but they never seem to deliver justice. Right about the time my case was going through the courts, another guy, and happens to be an Asian Indian guy named Chakwal, he gave $180,000 in straw donations to Hillary and a bunch of Democratic candidates. And he was also found guilty of witness tampering. Nevertheless, he goes before the court. The Justice Department decides to go easy on him. He gets no prison. He gets no confinement center. So there we go. We got two cases. This guy did something far worse than I did, and yet he gets a much lesser penalty, and that's progressive justice. It's a
big
scam.
I know. Well, Dinesh, the House has picked up your case, and they've brought it to light. What do you think is going to happen here?
Well, a Florida congressman named Ron DeSantis read about my case, and he was astounded to see that in the sentencing memorandum, what the government did is they took a whole bunch of cases in which people had gotten prison time for campaign finance laws, but in all those cases, there was corruption. People were buying offices or conspiring. And so what the government did is they edited out all that information in order to fool the judge into thinking that it would be normal to send me to federal prison. And so when this congressman, who was a former prosecutor, saw this, he realized that something very fishy is going on here at the very high levels of government. So the Oversight Committee of the U.S. Congress is now demanding that the Justice Department turn over my case file. The Justice Department, not surprisingly, is saying, no, we don't want to do that. And Congress, I think the next step is for them to issue a subpoena requiring the Justice Department to provide the file.
I know, it's amazing. I mean, it's like they wanted 3 weeks to turn over the information, and even then you knew things were going to be redacted to no end. Obviously it's the typical obfuscation on their part, and we've seen this play time and time again. Dinesh, in your experience while in confinement, as you say, in the subhead, you learned a lot from the criminal gangs there that you came in contact. What was the biggest eye-opener for you?
I think maybe the biggest thing I learned is that for 25 years I've looked at American politics as a kind of an intellectual debate between the Republicans and the Democrats, between the party of liberty and the party of equality. And what the criminal gangs taught me is that, look, American politics is also driven by very deep and base human motives. People are driven by lust and avarice and jealousy and rage and hatred. And if you ignore those powerful human emotions that are part of the motor of what drives us as human beings and in politics, then you're only going to see the surface of American politics. So in this book, Stealing America, I try to look under the surface.
Mm-hmm. And I've got to imagine for people who are at that level, and as you say, they got caught, but there's probably not a sense of any kind of, let me learn from this. Let me come out better. It's, if anything, let me become a better criminal, because that's the system and the system's fixed.
Yeah, the system is really not trying to fix these people. It basically is trying to, in some ways, the system itself is such a racket. It makes money off of these guys. And so, in a way, the longer they stay in prison, the more the prison system gets paid. The prison system holds classes that nobody attends, and they build a taxpayer for it. So once the criminals begin to realize that even the prison system is a racket, naturally there's not very much of an example for them to turn their lives around.
Exactly. Why shouldn't they get theirs, right? I mean, for all that money that's out there?
They just feel like they just feel that their racket is too small, and that there are much bigger and better rackets to be part of, such as the racket known as American politics.
Well, once again, our American politics is incentivizing all the wrong things, and we wonder, America, why we are where we are and we have what we have. I got to tell you, this book is very disturbing as you read through it. I think I threw it across the living room a couple of times as I was reading it, Dinesh. Just so frustrating. I could feel your pain, let me tell you. Dinesh D'Souza, number one best-selling author. His book, Stealing America, will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Dinesh, as always, good to have you on with us. It's 28 minutes after the top of the hour.
Make a resolution for the new year and improve your health with exercise, a healthy diet, and plenty of water in 2016. Keeping your body hydrated is essential for your health. While tap water may look and smell clean, it may contain contaminants that are picked up on its journey to your faucet, which could be harmful to your health. Make sure your water is cleaner by using an at-home water filtration system, like Pure's Advanced Water Faucet Filter System, which can greatly improve the quality of your drinking water. Pure's faucet filter systems are certified to remove over over 70 contaminants, including 99% of lead, 92% of pesticides, and 96% of mercury. The faucet filters last up to 3 months or 100 gallons of water and reduce 10 times more contaminants than the leading pitcher. Pure's faucet filter systems are easy to install and require no tools and start around $20, making filtering water at your home simple. Improve the quality of your water by filtering with Pure and raise a glass to your health and hydration this new year. For more information, visit pure.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding, unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze, containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free...
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
This is going to be the best day of my life. My life. This is going to be the best day of my life. My life.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
I'll tell you, so often it is about attitude. Attitude defines altitude. And, hey, you know, what are you going to wake up to? You're going to wake up to a good attitude and make it the best day of your life? Why not? Every day has that offering for us, but it's up to us to seize it, apprehend it, and go for it. Why not? It's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. I'm Bill Martinez. Russ Hepler is with us. He's a pastor, teacher, conference speaker, author, blog writer for the Federalist Papers Project, which is a project that is near and dear to my heart. He probably is not aware of that, but I just love what they're doing. And a conservative Christian political activist with almost 30 years' experience working in the quote-unquote trenches of grassroots issues and campaign politics. Already you know that we are woven together. His website is turnthisnationaround.org. Russ, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Hey, great to have you here to talk about all that you're involved in. But the first thing, before we get into turnthisnationaround.org, I want to talk about that headline that you wrote about, and that is in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. You've got, civic authorities, the city telling pastors there, you will do gay marriages or you face jail time.
Yes, correct. That was a few months ago that I had done that article. I had done some follow-up on that. I'm not exactly sure where the case is right now, but Alliance Defending Freedom was defending the Knapps, the people who had the Hitching Post Wedding Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And after they got involved, the city backed off and said, oh, no, this doesn't apply to you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and do, you don't have to do this. So what Alliance Defending Freedom did is they actually went to federal court to sue the city because they felt the ordinance was too vague and there could be some punishment or repercussion come after them in the future. Now, where the case is right now, I imagine it's still working through the courts, but there's been no decision either way. But as far as I know, they're not being continuing to be harassed by the city.
Well, that's good to know that they backed off. But still, you know, people need to be aware that this is an issue and that it's raising its head. I mean, time and again, we get these things that come about around the corner, and it's like surprise, and you go, what? Is this the 21st century America that I live in, or what?
Right? Oh, absolutely. And the radical homosexual lobby has been working for decades to get to this place in our history where, you know, they don't just want to have tolerance. They don't just want equality. Now they want to dominate. Mm-hmm. And we see this with cases like the Kleins out in Oregon with the sweet case by Melissa Baronel Stutzman, Kim Davis going to jail in Kentucky. But as far as the ministers marrying, the point that I made in the story for Federalist, being a pastor myself, is look, pastors are under no obligation to have to marry anybody. It's a service we provide. It is not part of our essential role as a pastor in the church. Mm-hmm. Over my years of experience, there have been couples that I've counseled that I've said, no, I don't think you should get married. You know, I have the right to turn down people if I don't want me as a Christian clergyman or my church blessing something that we don't think is appropriate. We have the right to say no, and we do all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not just about same-sex couples. It could be, you know, other multitude of circumstances where it's just not appropriate for the church or a pastor to be involved in a wedding ceremony.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's further down the road, though, with all due respect, Russ, because the thing is you got two people here that, you know, lives coming together. We got families. We got the future, you know, generation coming together. And if you see a train wreck around the bend, you're just going to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to marry you anyway. I mean, we're talking about their very souls here. I think this is a very serious situation here. So, yeah, they want to politicize this, but why can't you use good judgment if you see two knuckleheads coming together and go, you guys are going to be ill. You guys are going to kill each other, you know? It's not a good deal, you know? So now you're going to be a bad guy, right?
Most pastors will not just simply marry people off the cuff. Most pastors have counseling sessions. Now, me personally, what I've developed is about a six-hour counseling session. Some pastors do more and are more complicated. And if a couple isn't willing to sit with me for those 6 hours, it's not all at once. It can be broken up however works for their schedule. But if they're not willing to sit with me and go over the issues, then I'm just going to tell them up front, I'm sorry, I can't marry you if you're not willing to undergo this at least.
Right. Exactly.
And many churches won't perform weddings of non-members. So we're not like a justice of the peace that's supposed to represent the entire, you know, community. We're basically a private organization. So if you don't fit our criteria, no, we're under no obligation to have to perform this service for you.
Right. Well, like anything out there in terms of our freedoms, they don't come free. You have to fight for them. And this is what's happening across our country. We got to be able to push back and tell them that this is unacceptable. The law is in our favor, but if we don't exercise our full rights, then we're going to get run over. And I know for you with the Federalist Papers Project, what you're trying to do here is something that's been on my heart for a long time, Russ, and that is that you see the potential of the evangelical potential that's sitting out there right now and the force that it has been, you know, the Christian faith, Christian activists have been in the founding of this country, the development of this country, and what's happened over the years, particularly, I'd say probably in the last 50 years, they've gotten kicked to the curb and kicked in the mouth so much that they've just decided, hey, I'll just be quiet and focus on my God and let you guys go crash and burn. But now, according to the latest Gallup poll, you know, America is saying, hey, we're the Christians here. We need a moral compass. We want that moral compass back. And, you know, I find it a bit ironic, but I appreciate that you're fighting the good fight here to tell Christians, hey, it's okay, you know, to come out and see your shadow and get involved with what's going on because our country needs you.
Well, absolutely, and that's why I wrote the book, Yes, We Can Turn This Nation Around. That was back in 2012 because I was trying to encourage and challenge and educate Christians how we can get involved. And in fact, this is kind of my first public announcement. I've done an expanded and updated version of it that goes live in just a couple days on Amazon, mm-hmm. called Yes, We Still Can Turn This Nation Around.
Right.
So I've added more material and so on, updated the examples and so on. But what I've done in the book is to tell people, look, even if you're an average person who's never gotten involved before, there's something that you can do. I give a biblical basis for involvement. I correct the record about this whole separation of church and state nonsense and talk about the Constitution. And then I give a lot of practical advice about what you can do as an individual or a family or a church or a community, how you can plug yourself in. And with the millions and millions of us that are, there are in this country, if everyone, and I say this in both books, if everyone would commit 1 hour a week to political activism of some kind, and perhaps $20 a month in donations to organizations who are fighting the good fight, right. If every Christian would do that, this nation would be completely turned around within just a couple of years. Absolutely.
Yes.
We have the numbers, we have the people, and we have the truth. That's the bottom line. We have the truth on our side.
Exactly. Well, when we know, according to polling evidence, that only half of evangelicals will bother to register to vote and half again will actually go out to vote, those numbers are disgusting. And
yes.
I do not believe it reflects the heart of God. It is not scriptural to check out. We have a responsibility. We are to be stewards of where God has placed us, and it's up to us to get involved. But some reason, you know, some way along the way, Christians have gotten this idea that it doesn't matter, their vote doesn't matter. You know, Jesus is coming back soon and very soon, so why do I need to bother with this temporal process?
Absolutely, and I talk about that in the books too, that the church has basically done one of three things. Either we've said, okay, separation of church and state, the Johnson Amendment carries the day, so we're not allowed to get involved, so we'll be good citizens and shut up. Or B, it doesn't matter because Jesus is going to come back, I'm going to hide in my prayer closet until he comes and let the world, you know, get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Or C, they've become left-wing and said, well, what's so bad about socialism? Jesus said to care for the poor. What if the government does that? And, you know, and they've twisted the whole gospel message around with this liberal social gospel message to the point that they haven't taken the responsibility of the church to help the poor. They've said, let the government do it. We'll just
exactly.
pay higher taxes. And
well,
none
Russ,
of those positions are right or biblical.
Exactly. Russ, we're out of time. Remind everybody, turnthisnationaround.org. Check out Russ's updated book that is being released very shortly. And we've got to have you back here on Bill Martinez. Thank you so much. Russ Helpler on Bill Martinez Live, 19 before the top of the hour.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day. But growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Piedmont attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Dr. Joel Wallach is not your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Dr. Wallach asked, why does America spend more money on health care by far and yet ranks 50th in health and longevity worldwide? The doctor believes that people should be empowered with a basic understanding of nutrition, then take charge of their life to attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects, requiring more toxic prescription drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies, to our own destruction no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit GCNminerals.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join the GCN Minerals team. Go to GCNminerals.com. That's GCNminerals.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world.
Ooh, there's a wonderful world of softness, a wonderful world of freshness. It's the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful world.
You've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here at 14 minutes before the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along for the ride. Just want to remind you, we're here every Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 Eastern Time on these 270-plus markets across this country and around the world via shortwave. So with us right now is the one and only Steve Moore. Steve is Heritage Foundation's chief economist, is an American economic writer and policy analyst who founded and served as president of the Club for Growth from 1999 to 2000. Before we came on the air, I was talking to Steve and congratulating him because he just got married back in October. So he's still honeymooning and he's taking a break. And why he's taking a break from his stunning wife, I don't know.
Well, thank you, Bill. I found a woman who's really perfect. And best of all, she has terrible taste in men. So that's
no, I doubt that. Well, we know for sure that you have excellent taste in women. That's for sure. Hey, buddy, I want to talk to you about what is going on in this economy. I mean, I'm talking to economists all over the place, and they're just saying, boy, we've entered this new era of deflationary times.
Well, I think that, you know, clearly if you look at the oil story, and I think the oil markets have been driving a lot of the topsy-turvy in the stock market over the last 2-3 weeks. In fact, this is the worst start of a year for the stock market, I think, in history. So it's been, although there's been some the last couple of days some catch up, but still, you know, a lot of wealth has been lost, and this oil price fell down as low as about $27 a barrel. That's down from $105 a barrel a year and a half ago. So that's about a 70% decline in the oil price. That's very good news for consumers and families. It means you know, you only pay less than $2 a gallon now at the gas pump in most markets. It's good for manufacturers and other producers. For the oil patch, it's been obviously really tough sledding. And so, you know, places like North Dakota and Texas and Oklahoma and West Virginia have really gotten hammered by these low prices as less and less new drilling is going on because it's hard for the producers to make money when oil is selling at less than $30 a barrel. But I think there's also a political end of the story that I wanted to chat with you a little bit about, Bill, because I think, you know, I'm listening to some of these politicians who are running for president, especially on the Democratic side of the aisle, I think it's giving investors the shudders.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, look, I watched some of that Democratic debate last Sunday night, and, you know, I did it because I have to do it. A lot of Americans didn't watch that debate. But, you know, you listen to Hillary, and then you listen to Bernie Sanders, and you're like, what is this, a contest to see who can raise taxes the most?
And exactly.
Spending, by the way, and, you know, Hillary wants to have an income tax surcharge on rich people, and she wants to raise the capital gains tax, and she wants to throw Wall Streeters in jail, and Bernie Sanders said maybe not a 90% tax rate, but maybe 70 or 80%. Of course, that would cripple the American economy. You know, he's saying he wants a single-payer health care system, even to the left of Obamacare, and he has something like $5 trillion in new spending he wants over the next decade. And, you know, investors are listening to all that, and they're saying, wow, I don't know if I want to invest if one of these two people is going to be the next president of the United States. Now, you know, obviously, who knows who's going to win the presidential election, but you know, we have two parties right now, and the two people who are running on the Democratic side are talking economic nonsense.
Exactly. And Steve, you know, we were talking before we came on the air about the Drudge Report, this Drudge Super Pool, and Trump is in first place. I think there was over 1 million votes people participated in, and he got about 36% of the vote. Surprisingly, Bernie Sanders, almost 30% of the vote in second place. And you say, well, where was Hillary? Hillary, down to the very bottom, less than 1%, Steve. What does that say? I mean, this is really scary. I mean, to your point, investors are shaking, everything else, but has the last 7-plus years with Obama developed this new entitlement class that says there's just not enough and we like Sanders' message?
I think what people like about Bernie Sanders is that he is authentic and he's genuine. And look, I think the guy has totally crazy economic ideas of, you know, he wants to socialize the economy. And I don't see anywhere in the world where socializing the economy has worked. But at least he, you know, has the courage of his convictions. He says what he believes what he says. I think the problem for Hillary is she's all over the map. You know, one day she's a Bill Clinton New Democrat. The next day she's chasing, you know, trying to get to the left of Sanders. And I think people are so sick of politicians now, you know, that are just saying whatever, you know, they just pander to the voters and they say whatever they want. I think that's the reason Donald Trump and on the left, Bernie Sanders, are doing so well, because at least they seem to be genuine.
Mm-hmm. And they're staying with what's happening, what's contemporary. I mean, Hillary is rewriting history in the process. I mean, I was shocked, Steve, when she told everybody, she goes, when it comes to the economy, I'm going to check with my husband because he did such a great job. And I'm saying, check with your husband. I think you need to check with the Republican Congress and Newt Gingrich, because he's the one that saved your husband's bacon, didn't he?
Well, I think that's true. And I think, you know, the Clinton years, especially, as you say, you know, Newt Gingrich became Speaker, those were very prosperous years. Look, Bill Clinton was a genuine New Democrat. We did welfare reform. We cut the capital gains tax. We balanced the budget. We got spending under control. I don't think Hillary believes any of those things. She doesn't want to cut the capital gains. In fact, she wants to raise it. I think Hillary also just has a I think she is charismatically challenged. I think she just doesn't warm voters just don't warm up to her. And she, and by the way, you know, there is a decent chance that she's going to get indicted because of the emails. And, you know, could we have a presidential candidate who's under indictment by the FBI? I mean, I think she's got some real problems. Now, look, I'm going to say something on your show. Bernie Sanders is not going to be the Democratic nominee. Under no circumstances will he be the Democratic nominee.
Right.
If Hillary doesn't win either Iowa or New Hampshire, and there is a palpitation of the hearts of Democrats, and what they will do is they'll throw in someone else into the race. And that could be, that could be Jerry Brown of California. It could be Al Gore. He could be back. It could be Kerry. He could be back. It could be Vice President Biden. I don't even think the Democratic Party is nutty enough to put in, you know, somebody like Bernie Sanders.
Well, Joe Biden this morning echoed your sentiment exactly, that there's no way. And Ms. McCaskill, the same thing, said there's no way that Bernie Sanders should consider that he's a serious candidate. But when you see in this snapshot poll, you know, him garnering 30% and Hillary's not even in the zip code, I mean, that says something.
Well, you know, the same thing obviously is going on the Republican side. I mean, if we had this conversation, Bill, 9 months ago, and I told you that Donald Trump was going to run away with the Republican nomination. Now, he's not a shoo-in, but he's certainly the big clear favorite right now.
Right.
Nobody would have believed that, but it's happened. And I think this is a reflection of people so sick of politicians. I mean, that's what's happening on the Republican side. I mean, Donald Trump, look, I don't agree with a lot of things that Donald Trump says, but I do respect that he's a successful businessman, that he hasn't spent his whole life in politics, that he says what he believes, that he takes on political correctness, that he takes on the media. Those are things that are very attractive to a lot of voters. And, you know, we have a wrecked economy. I don't care what Barack Obama said in the State of the Union, you know, 10 to 12 days ago. This economy is not healthy. It's not creating the kinds of jobs we need. We've got a, you know, $1 trillion deficit, a $19 trillion debt. I mean, this is not a country that's on the right course, and Americans know it. It doesn't matter what the politicians say because they can feel it in their pocketbook.
Steve, to your point, I got to imagine Democrats in the back rooms are kind of shuddering when they hear the president say this, because he comes across almost like Baghdad Bob. You and I talked about this before, because it's like he's so disconnected from reality. This is the standard bearer of the Democratic Party, and they're going, wait a minute, this is what you believe, and what we're feeling and seeing at home, this doesn't make sense. If this is what the Democratic Party represents, how can I, you know, connect myself with something, you know, that's living in some other parallel universe that doesn't make sense?
Well, let me say this, though, that as bad as Bernie Sanders is, and I, you know, when you talk about 70-80% tax rates and so on, and a single payer health system, and, you know, ceiling for the rich and giving to the poor, that's not what America's about. But it's hard for me to imagine that Bernie Sanders could be a worse president than Barack Obama has been. I mean, truly. I mean, when you've got a president and we've got major economic problems in this country, we've got a massive debt, we have millions of Americans out of jobs, we've seen no pay raise in 10 years. Suffering. We've got terrorism that has made Americans feel very insecure when, you know, you've got people shot here by, you know, Muslim terrorists. And then the president was running around the country saying the biggest problem we face is climate change. I mean, that is warped sense of priorities. And I think there's been a backlash against this because, let's face it, you know, hope and change didn't work out so well for people.
Exactly.
And now they're looking for someone else.
Yeah, there's the empirical evidence. That's exactly it. The economy is still high on the list, if not number one. But national security right up there. And rather surprising, speaking of the debate, you watched it, the Democratic debate. It was, what, almost an hour and a half before they talked about ISIS at all.
You know, that's amazing, isn't it? And,
yeah.
You know, here we have, it's the number one concern of you know, it's either the number one or two concern with the economy, you know, neck and neck. And, you know, they don't even address it. And, you know, I'm an economist, so I'm not so much focused on ISIS because that's not my expertise. But the economy, I'm worried, you know, looking at what's happened just the start of this year and the end of last year, I'm kind of worried about a potential recession again. And, you know, American finances, American families are not in any condition to suffer another recession, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw one or two negative quarters. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I do think it's a possibility. And we got to do, where's the growth going to come from, Bill? I mean, what have we done in the last several years that's helping growth? We
exactly.
Should cut the corporate tax rate now. We should get, you know, the pro-drilling policies. We should roll back Obamacare. Let's do things that help American employers hire workers.
Exactly. And I believe, Steve, those workers are more than ready to be productive. It's almost like you've got this pent-up potential just getting ready to explode if you give them the opportunity to do so, don't you?
Of course. You know, and I think we need to get workers, this, you know, we've done a bad job as a nation matching workers with the skills that are needed in this country. You know, we've got too many philosophers and political science majors and, you know, ethnic studies majors and not enough people who, you know, how to, you know, be a plumber or be a chemist or be a physician or be a, you know, someone who can work with their hands as maybe a carpenter. Those are the
exactly.
Those are high-paying jobs, Bill.
Yeah, without a doubt. Steve Moore, thank you for being with us. Steve is the co-founder of the Committee to Unleash Prosperity and an economic consultant with FreedomWorks. Steve, thank you so much.
Are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code RADIO and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.